Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know there's a secret place to expand your mind? A place to escape the same old negative news? Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo, award-winning author, cable TV and radio host, poet, and advocate for justice. Rose has been seen and heard on local and national TV and radio. She's consulted with victims of injustice for more than 20 years. Her articles have been published in major and local newspapers and magazines. Listen live as Rose Colombo welcomes prominent authors and experts to her podcast every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific time at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. You can call in and ask questions at 646-564-9742. Follow Rose Colombo every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Colombo Chronicles Live at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Hi, everyone, and Happy New Year. Happy 2021. I hope it's starting off to be a good new year in your personal lives everywhere around the world, because you know, our personal lives are super important to how we can react to the rest of the world. And here in the USA, we are concerned and very concerned about our freedom, liberty, and rights under the United States Constitution, if we can keep it. And we are very concerned about the integrity of the elections of 2020, which most of us believe were stolen, corrupted, and rigged. In fact, in 2008, I can tell you that at our polling place, which I reported on national and local newspaper, including including ABC, that our polling place, when they first used those electronic machines, which I believe George Soros is invested in and Bill Gates and many on the left, and they're also known today as Dominion and Smartmatic, and the software is made in communist China, who favors Joe Biden and the Democrats because a professor leaked out that they like the old, long-time Democrats, key people in office who will do business with them secretly for profit so that their families become very wealthy and they create their family dynasty so they can live in mansions and have $24,000 refrigerators with $15 a cup designer ice cream in every flavor and live behind closed walls with either electronic or personal armed guards, more than likely, even though the Democrats' first priority is to disarm the American people. But we have more guns than we have people. And so this whole energized program here in our county back in 2008 resulted in the vote slipping to Barack Obama. And people were upset. They were calling out that their votes had slipped, and they were very upset. But the machines were new, and so they didn't know what to do about it. And so nobody did anything about it. Also in 2008, I believe that people have forgotten that dead people voted and that they bust in people into different states and counties to vote, that illegals voted, and that the Black Panthers were at the polling places intimidating people with batons in their uniforms. And so people were afraid to vote. And also, Bill Ayers and Barack Obama created an organization called ACORN. And those members, many of them, had been arrested later down the line for voter fraud. So there was a lot of fraud going on in 2008. So this is not the first time that voter fraud has occurred in America, except it is more prevalent today and more excessive today than has ever been known in U.S. history, and it is unprecedented. And so we're having a little battle here, and it's not so little to the majority of Americans, because the integrity, regardless of party, of the elections, the integrity of the national presidential elections is one of the most important events that could take place in the United States of America, or if it is not the most important, because it requires upholding the Constitution of the United States, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the American way of life, and preventing domestic traitors and foreign enemies from stealing our land, our country, our sovereignty, our freedom, our liberty, our rights, and our way of life. As we are locked down now, we are locked down. We are like prisoners of our own home for almost a year now. And then Nancy Pelosi and Senator McConnell, both parties, the key people who are speakers of the House and Senate, decided that we're only worth $600 of our own tax dollars being sent back to us as a COVID relief check. That's less than a welfare check. In fact, if you break it down, because they didn't send a check over the past 4 months, it would be about $5 a day per family. So while they're living and living in mansions, taking vacations, sailing on yachts, going to expensive restaurants, and not masking and socializing and having parties, birthday parties and so forth, enjoying their lifestyle as normal, we are being treated as criminals and locked down in our homes, and our businesses and locked out of our businesses so that we cannot maintain and sustain the necessities of life. And we're told to live off of this $5 a day per family over that was paid off because they didn't send a check for the last 4 months. And they could have sent every family $2,000, but they decided that we're just peasants and serfs. And even though it's our money and it belongs to us, we are not entitled to it unless they say so. So that's where we're at in America, and that is why the people, millions of people, are in D.C. right now protesting what we believe to be rigged and fraudulent votes. And there's supposed to be overwhelming evidence, if they can even get the evidence to be heard, because SCOTUS, the Supreme Court, and the federal judges and state judges have all dismissed these lawsuits. So that's where we're at. And on that note, we're going to enter into the world of authors and experts. And that is a fun part of the show for me, and hopefully for you. It can be educational, it can be entertaining, and you can learn a lot from many of our very prominent authors and experts that join us each Wednesday. So on that note, we'll take a break, and then we're going to enter into the world of authors and experts.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
That's right. Listen up. And if you just tuned in, Happy New Year. I hope it's blessed. I hope it's filled with joy and laughter And I hope that you are you enjoy a healthy new year and that there will be peace in the world for everyone. It's so important, and it's all about communication, too. And we don't have much of that in the USA right now, so I don't think it's, you know, a priority as they continue to fight on. But we have someone who is interested in communication today, and he's a returning guest. He's an author. His name is David Mulatto, and we're very happy to have him return on Columbo Chronicles Live. And he's the author of a new book that he's going to share with us, Truth of Life Through 101 Aphorisms. His previous book was Left versus Right, Black versus White, very timely, A Nation Divided, and boy, are we divided. You have, you know, his latest book that is going to be very exciting because, let me tell you a little bit, the art of debate is being eroded by electronic media, and boy, am I on that same page. No more do we listen to alternative points of view. No more do we discuss our differences and maybe learn that there is truth in alternative opinions. We divide ourselves into groups that mirror our beliefs, and we block out that which might be decent but different. Truths of Life Through 101 Aphorisms by David Mulatto was written as an intermediary for alternative views. This is a book written to be used as a platform for debate. No longer do you have to be silent. No longer do you have to choose between an opinion or a family member. And that is just a little bit of what David has to say about his book. So why don't we just get started and say hello to David Mulatto and welcome him to Columbo Chronicles Live. Happy New Year, David Mulatto.
Happy New Year to you, too, and thanks for having me on your show. I surely do appreciate it.
Oh, you're so welcome, because this is very interesting that you wrote this particular book, and I think it's kind of right. It's also timely because it is the new year, and we do have to communicate. So why don't you tell us why you decided to write this particular book?
Well, I was having a conversation with my mother, who's very traditional English, and I was asking her, I said, in pre-war Germany, the German Nationalist Party was elected in free elections. And through those free elections, people were elected that ended up, you know, causing the war and collapsing the country. So I was saying to her, what do you do? What do you do if you see collapse coming, if you see chaos coming, and you see people freely voting for politicians that are creating these major changes in the culture? What are your options? And as we were talking, the options seemed that you either accept it and just take care of your own, or you try and make a difference. And I think the best way to make a difference is through communication. I think that we're past the stage of trying to, you know, force ideas on people that this is my idea and this is your idea. We've tried that. It's not working. So now we're going into the communication phase. And if we don't open up the communication phase, if we don't start talking about how to fix our problems, after this is chaos, and history has proven that. And so I wrote this book because I want people to start having conversations with people that they maybe disagree with and start opening up communication.
And what's interesting about what you just said is that it's very difficult today to communicate with people who have who are, you know, mature or older or elderly, who have lived life, and then the new generations who have been indoctrinated into liberalism and pretty much brainwashed into liberalism and can't accept the word no or if you don't agree with them, they can become very violent or hostile, and they won't even speak to you. And so this is a really, this is a serious problem for today, because communication has to be open, and you have to be willing to listen, right? And you have to be willing to be civil. So how does the new world now, which is 2021, where we have a majority of mature seniors and elderly who have lived life, and then we have the younger people who have been indoctrinated into liberalism, which most older people are not extremely liberal. And so they may act like it sometimes, but they really will always come back to being more in the middle. So how do you communicate with these younger people?
Well, I think the first thing that you have to recognize is that it's their realities. You know, their truth is their reality. So we have the older generation, in which we're part of, and I'm part of, we have our truths based in our reality. The new generation has their truth within their reality. So if we're trying to say, you know, our reality is based on experience, therefore you should listen to us, we're going to lose that argument, because their reality is different from ours, and that the priorities and the things that are important to us are not important to this new generation. So there's a gap between, you know, ideas. And if we want to guide the next generation, as we want our children to prosper and be successful, we have to talk to them in a way that bridges, you know, our conversation and our realities to their realities. And this book, Truth Through Life to 101 Aphorisms, it picks subjects that are important to them, and it picks subjects that are important to our generation, and it offers a point of debate. So it's not saying that you're right and I'm wrong. It's saying this is the reaction for this behavior. And I think, you know, and I find it, you know, even with my own children, their philosophies and their beliefs are different than mine, even though they grew up, you know, in my household. So in order for me to communicate with them, I have to communicate in a way that also accepts that their reality is different than mine. And if I don't, what happens is I'm going to end up separating myself, and they're going to end up separating themselves, and we're going to end up in chaos. So
right,
what I've learned.
I think that's a very true fact. I think it's gone on forever, generation to generation, but probably more extreme today than in the past, because times have changed so much. I truly believe you're correct on that. Yes. And so you say insane or genius. Now that is the question. And then you say, I have always been a little different, a dreamer, some might say, unrealistic, others might argue. I view life with great interest and a wide range of perceptions. I have been charged with many identities, so I conclude, whether I am insane or a genius, either way, I am out there on my own. Now, why did you feel that was an important statement?
Because I view life as, I view everything as equal. I view everybody as equal. I don't care about your status in life. I don't care whether you're homeless or whether you're living in a mansion. The life value is equal to me. And I find myself in so many situations where I feel like I'm on my own in judging or trying to assess situations, where I'm sitting in the middle and I can see both sides, and yet neither side can see each other. And so when you look at something and you can say to yourself, and I say this, you know, on a historical sense, we are heading down the same path as pre-war Germany did. We're voting ourselves into chaos. And to me, I look at that and I go, it's so obvious to see, but why am I out there on my own? Why am I the only person that sees that coming and understands that both sides, you know, have merits and both sides have negatives. But a lot of times you just say to yourself, you know, and it's not just, it's on race. It's on color, on race. I mean, it's, if you view things as being equal and equal rights and equal opportunities, you don't get caught up into the one's right and one's wrong and one deserves this and one deserves that. You look at everything through a kind of neutral prism. But when you look around, you see everybody else divided and everybody else picking a side. And you feel very isolated. You know,
yes,
on the color
I agree
issues,
with that. Yeah, I agree with that. And I tell people, I go, well, on racism, I say, well, if you were drowning or your child was drowning or your loved one or your friend, I said, and somebody that you were prejudiced against, black, brown, yellow, red, whatever, came swimming out towards you and saved your child's life or your wife or whoever, I said, you wouldn't see color. You would love that person. You would be embracing that person. You would not even see color. And I think,
well, why does
you know,
that, yeah.
Oh, I mean, I was going to say, and I think that is so important because people don't think about that, but when incidents happen where a person of color comes along and helps another person, you don't see color. You just see a person, and you're grateful to that person. A lot of people been endeared.
But why do you have to? Well, sorry, I was going to say, now in my lonely world, I see that before the incident, if you see what I'm saying. Why does somebody have to have something happen to change their opinion? Like, you know, somebody they dislike, you know, do something for them to change. You know,
well, I agree
why?
With that, except that I'm just giving them, you know, food for thought that, hey, if you were stranded, would you care who saved your life? Would you care? No, you wouldn't, because you wouldn't see color. You would see goodness. And I think that's very important to also
I agree with
the
you.
People,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And so but I agree with you, too, that it should come before. And that's one of the communications I think you're trying to express, right? Or you
are absolutely.
Expressing.
Absolutely. There were a lot of, you know, black people during the war that gave their lives for freedom. There were a lot of white people during the war that gave their lives. There's lots of people that have given everything for us to be free today. So how can you sit there and, you know, accuse somebody on how they look as determining, you know, how you feel about them? And it's a manipulation of, you know, group identity. I understand that. But sometimes you feel really isolated because you view everybody as equal. You see solutions are possible. You see life can improve. And you see people just making things worse through, I guess ignorance is a tough word to use, but I would say a closed mind. I think.
And also the government. The government divides people a lot and pits people against each other so they can get votes. And I think that's wrong, too. So you say people who live on the island of opinion rarely visits the land of facts. What does that mean?
Well, it's one of my favorite. It's that we form our facts based on our opinions. And I've often had this argument with people who've said to me, well, you know, that's your opinion. And it's not my opinion. It's a fact. A fact is a fact. A fact doesn't change by the perception of the person looking at something, you know. And so what I'm, most people, they find a position that they're comfortable with and they say, okay, these are my facts. Well, they're not really facts, they're opinion. And I find that when you debate people, a lot of times they'll stay in their space of opinion and they'll charge them as facts when they're not. But when you get to the point of facts, they're not interested in facts. They go back to opinion. So what I'm saying is if you want to be right all the time, if you want to feel that you're righteous and you're knowledgeable and you're not interested in the truth, just stay with your opinion. And that's where you sit. But if you want facts, if you want to learn the truth and you want to stay with facts, those facts may go contradictory to what your opinions are. And that takes courage, because that's honesty. And what I'm saying in that aphorism is, you know, if you don't like facts, then stay in the world of opinion. This is where a lot of people live. And it's amazing to look at something, you know, I would say, okay, this election, you know, fraud in the election. People say there's no facts. There's massive facts. But people that don't want to face those facts will say, oh, that's your opinion. And they will stay in the world of opinion, which is, oh, there was no fraud. And this is one of the great problems with debate, is that the people who want to stay in the world of opinion, they don't want to look at facts. And, you know, because facts often go contrary to what you want to believe. But you can only find truth through facts.
That's true. I mean, facts are the facts, like you said, and that is the truth when you have facts, not when you have opinions. And we're talking to David Mulato, and his newest book is Truth of Life Through 101 Aphorisms. And this is all so important because it affects everything. It affects everybody, and it affects society, and it affects the world as a whole. And so, what do you mean by I'm running on hate? Will you run with me?
Well, a lot of the political speech and a lot of, and if you look at pre-war Germany and a lot of the politicians that were talking about nationalism, and it was all subtle hate speech. So what I see out there today, a lot of the speech from the pulpit is about hate. It's about somebody else is causing you harm and somebody else. There's no real speech on, you know, inspiring people to make their communities better. And there's no speeches about, you know, how we can make, you know, our lives improve. It's all hate. And what people are saying is the aphorism, you know, I'm running on hate, will you run with me? Means that, you know, I'm running because I hate this person over there. I'm running because I hate Donald Trump. Or I'm running because I hate this, I hate Joe Biden. So come with me and hate with me. And so we're not talking about, you know, debating ideas and, you know, how can we negotiate ideas that are going to help our families and our future. We're just talking about, I hate this person, you hate with me, and if we can get enough hate together, we can destroy this person.
That's so true. And, it is so true. And I mean, I think it's so sad today. I'm so glad you brought that up, because I think it's so sad today that, you know, they would withhold our taxes, which is what they're paying us back with in these welfare checks called COVID relief, which they are welfare checks, less than welfare they're paying the American people by imprisoning us in our homes. And I in shutting, locking us out of our businesses and jobs at the same time. And then they're debating about sending us our tax money back to survive for the necessities of life. And then they decide, because we hate Trump, we're going to only send you $600 for the past 4 months, which I calculated down to about $5 a day per family. And I mean, it's exactly what you said. It's based on hate, not on the needs of the American people. That's sad, because those are human rights violations.
But the thing is, I have a blog I post a little bit on. It's called reasontogetoutofbed.com, because I believe everybody has a reason to get out of bed, needs a reason to get out of bed. And what I find really just kind of sickening about all of this is that Under, and I know this might be controversial, so under the guise of tax refund, the Republicans were all for tax cuts. We've got to have tax cuts. The Democrats were against them. Oh, no, we can't afford it. So now we put a different name on it. We put the name COVID on it. And now, so the reverse is switched. So 6 months ago, when the Republicans wanted to give the money, the Democrats, oh, no, we can't give Trump a victory, so we can't do anything before the election. So the people suffered. So now after the election's over, the Democrats are like, oh, we're your best friends. We want to give you money. And the Republicans are like, oh, no, we can't afford it, you know. But it's the same thing. If you're giving somebody their tax money back, you call it a tax fund, a tax return, and one side's for it and one side's against it. You call it COVID relief, then the other side's for it and the other side's against it. But it's the same thing. You're trying to return people more of their tax money, but it has a different label.
Yes, so, and I think they should call it tax money because not everybody has COVID. So hello,
yeah,
we should be working,
sustaining
our lifestyles.
But I lost respect in the sense for the Republicans too, in the sense that, you know, so one, if it has a label in the tax cuts, you're all for it. But if it has a label COVID relief, you're against it. And so everybody's using it for political football. But my friend's losing his restaurants. My friend's, you know, behind in his mortgage. You know, I've got lots of people all around me that are really suffering.
Me too. I have a brother and sister who are, you know, I hope I can keep my restaurant open. I hope, you know, I mean, it just breaks my heart. They've worked so hard for their American dream. And so, and you know what's really sad, though? I think the politicians should read your book because you know what's really sad? And the name of the book, by the way, is Truths of Life Through 101 Aphorisms by David Nalato. And I think they should read your book because the sad part is they're out partying, they're having birthday parties, they're celebrating in expensive restaurants, they're vacationing. Do you really think they wear masks? Do you really think they social? They've been caught without them, even Dr. Fauci, and all this, and they're arresting good Americans who don't want to wear masks because they can't breathe, and so, I mean, it's the insanity of it all where. Do as we tell you, not as we do. So they don't know how to communicate, David Nalato, with the people. I think your book, Truths of Life Through 101 Aphorisms, is very important. And they need to read your book.
Along with everyone else. I generally believe that as long as they can separate us and we don't communicate, they're going to have the power. Because in California, Newsom, you know, is going to get elected regardless of what he does. So he doesn't care. So as long as we separate ourselves, I'm on one side and you're on the other side, the people that represent us have unlimited power. But if we communicate with each other and and the center, because the real power is in the center, the extremes may be the most vocal, but the real power is the center group. But the center group is most silent. So if we communicate and we, as a central position, start to talk about these issues that are in this book and start to communicate with each other, then I think we're going to start holding people accountable because we're going to have more of a dialogue. But I think what's happening right now, and you're right, by design, as long as we're separated, as long as we, you know, hate the person on the other side of the fence, we're going to be totally controlled. And we're going to be controlled by the few. And the one thing they don't want us to do is they don't want us to communicate with each other. Because once we start communicating, we might find out that we have more in common than we actually thought.
That's why they have us we shouldn't comply with these communist agendas using a flu, and all flus are infectious and all flus are linked to coronavirus, and we've never been locked down and forced to be locked down in our homes or be arrested if we don't wear a mask and all this other BS they're doing. And so the bottom line is that it's all about communist China's control. Because so many of them are making money off of communist China or making secret deals and making money, tons of money. And so their belief is, what you do is we tell you, not as we do, because we are above the law. And they've forgotten that we, the people, are the government. They're the public servants, and they're only serving themselves. So I really like what you wrote in your book, Truths of Life Through 101 Aphorisms, is, on the back cover, it says, if I am to control your present, then I must destroy your past. If I can destroy your past, then I can rewrite your future. If I can rewrite your future, then I can control your present. I really like that, David.
Well, thank you. I think it's a truism. So what we're doing right now, we're destroying history. We're destroying monuments. We're destroying the past. Because if we can destroy the past, then we don't have any record in which we have to follow, to channel on. So, you know, if we can control the which is, everything is about controlling the now. So I have to control your past so you're not linked to any history or any tradition. I have to get rid of your traditions, you know, and then I can start controlling everything. And this is what's really going on. And I think what you were saying earlier, I think, is really, I would disagree a little bit on the fact that the politicians have forgot about us. I would make the case we forgot about ourselves. I would say make the case that we have forgotten that actually we do have control. I mean, there isn't a better system than a democracy. But we've become lazy, we've become fat, we've become, if I can say that, we've become complacent. We've forgotten that we actually can control who we send to Washington. And we've become lazy.
And the problem is that, the problem is now people are awakened, now are becoming even more and more awakened to the truth. And the truth is that I hope we're not too late to take back our country and take back and preserve the Constitution. But I never think that it's ever too late when people awaken to reality and they see they're losing their freedom and their Constitution and their sovereignty and their government. And we, the people, are the government. So we're coming to a close now, but which aphorism is your favorite?
I think my favorite is that, do I live through my color? I like them all, it's kind of silly, but I think the one, do I live through my color or does my color live through me? And I had an incident that happened to me when I was young, and I was in love with this girl, as we all are, and her parents didn't want me to see her, and I always assumed it was because of my color. Well, I went to a school reunion, and I found out a friend of mine who was blonde hair and blue eyes, he tried to date her sister, and the parents told him the same thing. And it just made me think, all my life I was thinking that this happened because of my color. Well, in reality, it might have had nothing to do with my color. It might have just been a parent not wanting their daughter to, you know, date a young boy. And it's this perception that we assume something happens for one reason, but as we become more knowledgeable about something, we realize actually that may have had nothing to do with it. And I think so much in life, especially in this race situations that we're going through, really has nothing to do with race, but we're assuming it does, and we're making really bad decisions because we're assuming that that's what it's about. But in reality, and I just think it's so, how we can believe something, it doesn't have to be about race, it can be about anything, but how we believe something, and then we find out years later that actually we were completely wrong, or may have been completely wrong. And I just think that some of those decisions affect our lives, and I think that we need to take more time in understanding something before we jump to a conclusion, because it can have drastic changes on how you perceive things.
Absolutely, and that's what's happening to our country right now and to the world as we're coming out of this illusion of what we thought everything was all about and what we were taught, and now people are becoming disillusioned and they're becoming angry, and hopefully in a positive way to make changes and correct things. So I really want to thank you for writing Truths of Life through 101 Aphorisms, David Milato.
It's on Amazon right now.
Yeah, sorry. And do you have a website that they can check you out on and contact you, or and where else can they buy your book other than Amazon, if anywhere?
It's on. They can. The reasontogetoutofbed.com is my website, and I chose that because we all need a reason to get out of bed each day. So
for sure,
I have a website called reasontogetoutofbed.com. and everything's there, and some more ideas and some, you know, just some ideas about life. And my thing is if we don't learn to communicate, if we don't learn to talk to each other, then our children and our grandchildren are going to, you know, live through some really terrible chaos. And I just think we're at the final stage. We need to start talking to each other, or, you know, the future's in real jeopardy.
I agree with you. And 100% communication is everything, and listening to other people and digesting what they have to say, like you present in your book, is very, very important. So, again, thank you so much for writing Truths of Life Through 101 Aphorisms by David Mulatto. That's Mulatto. And God bless you, and have a blessed new year. If I don't talk to you very soon, I hope that you continue to write, and then let us know what's happening with your new book.
Appreciate it, and I appreciate your time. Enjoy talking to you. And hopefully
you too, David.
We can make changes. Thank
hopefully,
you.
Hopefully, yes. That's what hopefully. We're all about.
Okay, thank you. Okay,
bye. And David Mulatto has left the building, and be sure to go out and get his books. One more time, it's Truths of Life Through 101 Aphorisms. And on that note, we will take a little break, and we'll come back, and we'll enter into the world of political confusion and the issues of the day. So I will be back in just a moment, and don't touch that dial.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you. But some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Hi, everyone. We're back on Columbo Chronicles Live just for you. And we just left the wonderful world of authors and experts. And now we're going to enter into the world of politics, my favorite topic, as you all know, and the issues of the day. And, of course, the issue of the day is the elections in the United States of America. And as you know, we're having dispute of then millions of Americans are in Washington, D.C., protesting what we believe, the majority of Americans believe, to be a rigged election. So let's say hello to Rob Raskin and see what he has found out recently about the elections. Hi, Rob. Happy New Year.
Yes, same to you, Rose.
Thank you.
Well, what's
and
happening in America right now is unprecedented. Finally, the protesters have had enough, and I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but somewhere in the neighborhood of between 100 and 1,000 of them have breached the security of the Capitol building. They have forced the evacuation. They forced the security to remove Pence. Shots have been fired. People have been shot. It's
wow.
They forced the police to retreat, and now I see that they're bringing in more police and riot gear and with gas masks, probably to attempt to disperse. But the interesting thing about it is that watching the Newsmax of all stations and hearing them say this is totally inappropriate when they don't say anything about Antifa or the BLM or the Capitol Police actually ushering Antifa in and arresting MAGA protesters for essentially nothing while giving Antifa and BLM a free pass. You can't do that for, you know, month in, month out, year in, year out, and then steal elections on top of it, and then aggravate us to death, and then steal the two elections again in Georgia last night, and expect that at some point it's not going to boil over. And so at this point, we have armed patriots on the Senate floor. We actually have a picture of one of them sitting in Pence's seat. So that's what's happening right now is I guess you could say that essentially we've had enough. And they're saying, I can't believe these people are doing this. And I don't understand how it's possible that you cannot believe we're doing this. We tried to go to the courts.
We the people are the government, and we the people are fed up with all this corruption. We know the elections were rigged. In 2008, at my polling place, which I mentioned earlier in the show before my guest came on, David Mulatto, that the ballots were slipping to Obama. And in our polling place back in 2008, and that George Soros owned electronic voting machines, and probably Gates was invested in it too, and many other millionaires and billionaires. But Soros, and Gates and all of these New World Order people are totally linked to communist China. And there are so many of our Democrats are compromised by making secret deals with communist China, Ukraine, Iran. I mean, you name it. They kept the money from Haiti. They kept the money from Russia with the Uranium One. Billions and billions of dollars. And they never prosecuted Epstein and all his trafficking with, children and forcing them to have sex with adult males who, because they're wealthy, can just come to Orgy Island and rape little girls. People are fed up with all of it. I mean, they're totally fed up. And it's okay for Black Lives Matter to terrorize our homes and our cities and burn them down and then loot on top of that, and then be armed as an army and take over cities, and they all approved of it. And they think that we approve of that. They think that we believe that that's legal, lawful, and constitutional to terrorize us. Well, they fund them and kneel down to these Marxist communists. Are you kidding me? What are they thinking, Rob?
You know, they're so out of it that they really have no idea. They think that, well, to show you how far out of it they are, they're estimating that there's 250,000 Trump supporters in D.C. today, and in response to approximately 1,000 of them breaking through the Capitol Police line, breaking into the actual Capitol, firing shots, fighting with police, etc., the mayor said, okay, well, in that case, we need to impose a 6 p.m. curfew.
Oh.
So what are they going to do when 250,000 people don't leave at 6 o'clock? Because I don't think that these people are leaving.
Are they going to shoot Americans now? What are they going to do? In their countries where they just shoot all the protesters, they're going to shoot the Americans too. I mean, these traitors, and they are traitors to our country, who have become so wealthy by making these secret deals with all these foreign enemies of our nation, who are my dad, my uncles, my family members, and yours, and all loyal fellow patriots, and probably even their parents and grandparents or whoever, fought against communism and freed the world, the Europe and the free Western civilization from communism. And they gave their lives, many of them, and they were injured, and there's many still in hospitals today. And to keep our country free and Western civilization free, and then these people are secretly undermining the Constitution. They're overthrowing the Constitution with these lockdowns, because these are human rights violations. When Americans have to stand in line because they lock you down in your house for a whole year until you can't go to work, and they're locking down your business, and you cannot sustain the necessities of life, and they're making you, impoverishing you, and then they're calling it COVID relief when it's taxpayer money that they're sending back to you, and then they decide, oh, we hate Trump, so we're not going to send the American people $2,000, which is still peanuts. Well, they're stealing billions, and we're going to just send them. We haven't paid them for 4 months. We'll send them $5 a day, which amounts to about $600 per family. I mean, this is disgusting, is shameful, and right, the American people should be fed up, and the American people should fight back for our country, because we, the people, are the government, not them. They are the public servants, and they have placed themselves on a pedestal that they are just serving themselves and saying, you're locked out of D.C., you're locked out of the White House. We pay for that White House. We pay their wages. We pay for everything. There isn't a government job that we don't pay for.
Yeah, they were wondering on Newsmax why what was the trigger, and they don't even realize the trigger was Mike Pence. What he said he doesn't believe has the unilateral authority to decide between competing states of electors. So that's after President Trump said, if Mike Pence does the right thing, which he has the power to do, we will have, we will continue to have the presidency. I don't know if he's going to do the right thing, but if he does the right thing, Trump said that several times. And then all of a sudden, Pence comes on, and before anything starts, he says, it's my considered judgment that my oath to support and defend the Constitution constrains me from claiming unilateral authority to determine which electoral votes should be counted and which should not. So
that is such a lie. That is such a lie, because you know what? The truth has to prevail. And this is a national crisis. This is a constitutional crisis. And when you have millions of Americans who believe that the elections are not believable, and you have judges who are dismissing fraud, and it's beyond fraud. It is treason against the Constitution of the United States and the American people to allow fraudulent votes to be counted and pre-planned as well. And those stupid Dominion Smartmatic machines are linked to George Soros and Bill Gates and and China. So what do we expect from them?
Yeah, I mean, at what point? I mean, we've been disrespected in every way, shape, and form from Mayor of Portland and Governor of Oregon, the Governor of Nevada, the Governor of Michigan, the Governor of California, on and on and on, New York. We've been disrespected all throughout the country. We've been mistreated all throughout the country. The courts have been totally missing, including
they
John
are
Roberts.
In violation of their sworn oath. They swore to uphold the Constitution. This Constitution says the military must defend our country, because they are sworn to uphold the Constitution, and it is their duty to remove not the American people's duty, unless President Trump calls the militia, which we the people are the militia, but for the military to remove domestic and foreign enemies from our government. And that's exactly what they need to do. What do you think?
I agree, and I wonder if President Trump wouldn't be justified at this point, as this escalates, to declare martial law that would stay the election.
Well, he should. He should temporarily call temporary martial law out. He should.
Yeah.
I wish I was his advisor. I would have told him a long time ago, hey, don't trust this one, don't trust that one, don't trust this one. They are traitors to our country, because I've been doing this for 30 years, watching all these people and warning Americans what was coming, because I read the presidential order back in 2009 that went back even further than that, but was passed from president to president to president, that said they were planning a plandemic. They were planning curfews and quarantines, and they were planning patrols on the street, and they were planning civil unrest, black-white division. I have TV shows on this, and cable TV shows from back in the 90s with patriots who may have passed by now. One of them did anyway, and a few of them actually. And some are elderly now but still fighting. They, you know, talked about this way back then. And on top of that, this presidential order also said that they could knock your doors down, disarm you, and take right-wing extremists, which are patriots, MAGA supporters, constitutionalists, loyal Americans, Christians, Jews, Baptists, you know, anybody that's God-fearing, God-loving people, just like they do in communist China, knock your darn door down and take you away to a government facility for reprogramming like they do in communist China. So this is not something that happened overnight.
No, and they're wondering on television, these talking heads, it just cracks me up. They're wondering how we got to this point. And I'm looking at it saying, really? Wow, do you guys live in a bubble, or are you just putting us on? Because this is the 11th hour. We finally said we've had enough. You've stolen our elections. You've locked us down.
Stolen our president.
You've forced us to lose our businesses. What's that?
Stolen our president of the United States that was duly and fairly elected, and you destroyed the integrity of the Constitution. SCOTUS refused to hear the case. That's their duty, their only duty. Do you know what we pay them to do, Rob? We pay them to uphold the Constitution. That's the only duty they have.
Yeah, and Roberts is just so compromised, it's ridiculous. And it shows you on the other end of the on the other side of the coin, it shows you how evil the entire regime is, because Biden just keeps appointing people that if he ever got in, these are the most anti-American people we have, from John Kerry to Merrick Garland, who they tried to get onto the court to say that the American people were never given the right to have a firearm, which is exactly what they were working on when they were working on getting him onto the court in Obama's last year. I mean, it's the amount of people and the actual people that are in the Biden regime. If they would be elected, we would never be able to not fight. So the fight is starting right now to put Congress on notice that you can continue if you want to, and the campus police, the Capitol Police, can protect you, and you can even work remotely if you want to. But you will never be safe in America if you work with communist China to steal our country and steal our Constitution and steal our rights, because at that point, we have nothing left to lose. And if you think that a lockdown is going to work to keep us away, or masks are going to keep us home, or whatever your next concocted plan is, it's not going to work, because what you are seeing right now is only a very, very small glimpse of how angry millions upon millions upon millions of Americans are. We're armed and we're angry and we're not going to submit.
I have news for them. If they think a million people are a lot, just wait till they have 30 million people, 50 million people on their doorsteps, because Americans are not going to put up with this.
Yeah, in Egypt, there was, I think you said, somewhere close to 50 million, right?
Yes, I was talking to a lady that from Egypt who won a Pulitzer Prize, and she told me, I was interviewing her on the radio, and she told me that I said, well, gosh, you guys had 30 million people wearing your Egyptian sandals and marching, and you won. You know, you forced Morsi out, which Obama and Hillary funded into office, helped fund into office. And the Egyptians warned them, do not fund Morsi as a Muslim Brother leader. He will kill all the Coptic Christians. He'll burn down the churches and the homes. And that's what he did. As soon as he got in, he started killing Coptic Christians and priests and burning their churches. And I said, 30 million? I said, I wish that could happen in America. She goes, Rose, it wasn't 30 million. It was 50 million.
Yeah, that's remarkable.
And they stayed there until they arrested him and took him out of office. And do you know the sergeant-at-arms can remove the vice president or anybody from the White House for corruption?
Yeah, and yet nobody has done anything because the corruption is so deep that what we need is for President Trump to declare a state of emergency and bring military intelligence in to investigate and arrest all of the people, Roberts, Pence. And it's funny because just yesterday, I believe it was, Lynn Wood said the first three to be arrested should be Pence, Roberts, and McConnell.
Yep. And on that note, I have to close, but I'm going to get in touch with you right after the show. So are you going to be available?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thanks so much for your input, and I'll be talking to you soon. And God bless you, and stay safe.
Same here. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
And that's all we have time for on Columbo Chronicles, but God bless you. God bless America. God bless the world. I hope we can save America, save the Constitution, because our children and grandchildren and all those who come to America to escape communism are upset that we, the people, the American people born on this soil, you and me, innate to this soil, didn't step up to the plate and get these people out, these domestic enemies, making their families wealthy on our time and dime by the sweat of our brow and our parents and grandparents and so forth, and all those who fought for this land and are now buried and are heroes. We owe them to fight back for freedom, and we need to purge all domestic enemies from positions of power so that we can restore them with loyal Americans who will be taking office with clean hands and swearing an oath honestly in front of God on the Bible, not foreign books with foreign ideologies and political anti-American ideologies, and with a goal to overthrow our Constitution and take our country away from us, and who knows what they would do with us. So this is a battle for our country, for our children, for our grandchildren. This is it. And God bless you. God bless America. And keep praying, because prayer is powerful. And I will talk to you next Wednesday from 12 to 1 p.m. And you can go at roseforjustice.com to read my blogs and listen to some of the former podcasts with very special guests and topics. Bye-bye.
Rose Colombo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.